morning, everyone. I welcome each one of you here. Thank you for coming. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord speak to us and may we respond in worship and obedience. I want to welcome each one here, welcome to our visitors. May you feel at home here, and it is so important for us to gather as believers to support one another, to pray for one another, and to come and worship. Psalm 143, verse 10, it says, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." That is my prayer for each one here and myself, that our desire would be to seek the Lord in everything that we do. Last time I was here, I spoke on 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. And today I want to just expound on verse 3 and 4. I just felt led. There's so much in those verses that I wanted to expound on them a bit more. So that is where I want to focus this morning. Now, before we go into God's Word, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning, Father. We thank you for each one who's come, Lord, and I pray that we come with open hearts and that your Spirit would guide and convict and teach us here. Father, may we respond in obedience, and I pray our desire be that we would have a closer walk with you, Father. And I just pray for wherever your word is being preached this morning, Father, that you would guide each one, Father. I think of all our Sunday school teachers and youth leaders and many that are teaching your word, Father. May they seek your will and your ways, Father. And Father, as we come under the teaching of your word here this morning, may your Spirit guide us, Father. And Lord, may you bless this morning as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 1, for the sake of context, I'm going to read verses 3 to 9 and then just focus on verse 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold or various temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." May God bless the reading of his word. This morning, I want to speak on our eternal home. And if I were to ask the question here to each one of you, if you died today, do you know where you are going? What road are you on? Do you think that every person desires heaven? Many people seem to think that all roads lead to heaven, and that is not true. Only those who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will go to heaven. The Apostle Paul, he writes that our citizenship is in heaven. It's not on earth here. Heaven is the place that we long to go and see and spend eternity there. And the Apostle Paul, he says it well. He says that we are pilgrims. And a pilgrim is someone someone who is just passing through. He also said, the Apostle Paul, he also said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. That is how it should be for each one of us. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. A few more verses I want to share. Romans 8, verse 22. The Apostle Paul, he writes, Romans 8, 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And listen to this, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Isn't that so true that as believers, that is what we are waiting for, the redemption of our bodies. And he says, the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. And not only that, we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. And he says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. All of creation is groaning in this sin-cursed earth. And Paul says it so well, not only that, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan and we wait for the redemption of our body. So whether we die or the rapture takes place, the born-again believer will be with Jesus forever in heaven. And Jesus Christ made this possible. Because he came to earth, he died, he was nailed to a cross, he was buried, he rose again from the dead to never die again. And I just want to touch on it briefly on the importance of the resurrection for believers, as it talks about in my text. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verses 12 to 20. The Apostle Paul, he writes, and this is really emphasizing the importance of the resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? And there were those, they called them Sadducees, they believed there was no resurrection. And the Apostle Paul, he is addressing this. And he says in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, or useless, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep or have died in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable or most pitied. And the truth is, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And the Apostle Paul, he is addressing those false teachers that were saying there is no resurrection. And he says that if there is no resurrection, then our faith and our preaching is useless and vain. And he says also that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, if only in our present circumstances, he says, we are of all men most pitied or most miserable. But he goes on, he says that the truth is, now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You know what? Jesus' his own words in John 11, verse 25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Those are Jesus' own words. The resurrection is so incredibly important. If we go back to my text in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, he says here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And that is why that is so important for believers. And as I shared here, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." The importance of the resurrection. And if we go on in verse 4, he talks about to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How often do you think about our eternal home? Do you believe there is a heaven? There is an eternal home? God's word teaches there is. There is something so beautiful waiting for those who put their trust in him. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." And it also says, "He has put eternity in their hearts." Except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. Ecclesiastes tells us that God has set eternity in the hearts of men and women. What God has put in the human heart, eternity, it cannot be discovered or fulfilled through the experiences of this world because we are made for eternity. I love that verse, that God has set eternity in the hearts of men and women. We people, we long for something better, right? Jesus never designed us to live on earth. We were created for heaven. Heaven is a place. The Hebrew word for heaven means lifted up or heights. The Greek word means lofty or lifted. And Jesus' very own words in John chapter 14, he tells us when he was speaking with his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled," in John 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus talks about this wonderful place called heaven. He says, "I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Can't wait to see what God has in store for those that love him. I want to expound on heaven, on some of the verses that talk about our eternal home. And really, I guess you could say heaven is in phases. The moment a believer dies, his soul goes to be with the Lord, right? His body will be buried in the ground. The Apostle Paul, he says it well. He says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Or whether the rapture takes place, you will see, receive a glorified body. Right? There's many verses that speak on the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall not all die, but we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And we will receive glorified bodies. And we know that the Bible also speaks of after death is the judgment seat of Christ. That is for believers. Then you can find that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. There's also the marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19, verse 7. And then Jesus also comes back and sets up the thousand-year reign of Christ. And you can find that also in Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 10. It talks about a renewed earth, a tamed animal world. It talks about the lush environment. It talks about longevity on earth, world peace, perfect health. And then there is the eternal state, the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And this is what I want to elaborate on. This heaven and earth is going to be destroyed, that is currently here. Jesus says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This heaven and this earth, as the Bible teaches, it will be dissolved, it will melt with fervent heat. And God is going to recreate a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he saith unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. In that same chapter, starting at verse 22, from 9 and on, it talks about the new Jerusalem. But starting at verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And then Revelation 22, the next chapter, verses 1 to 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I could just stop right there, and you could just all go home and just focus on those verses. Isn't that beautiful? When we think of heaven, I'm sure we've all thought about it. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I understand the Greek word is kainos, means quality of freshness or new in quality or different in kind. You know, this is something that all those who love and put their trust in Jesus will experience. God himself will be with us. He will wipe away all tears. And just think about this. There will be no remembering things of sorrow or pain or crying. God says, for the former things are passed away. No death, no sorrow, no pain. Just think about that. I mean, all we see on earth here is corruptness. We see our bodies deteriorating. We see pain. We see sorrow. We see crying. He says all these things, the former things are passed away. We're not going to have memory of all the sorrow that we have on earth. Jesus says, I will make all things new. No more death, no sorrow, no crying, no more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hard to imagine how wonderful that will be. And verse 5, he says, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Jesus will make all things new. The Bible also teaches there will be no more night. There will be no more sun. For the Lord God giveth light. Revelation 22:4, the believers are able to see their Father face to face. And it also says there will be no more sea. When I think of the sea, the oceans, they can be a real burden. They can be a real separation. They can be very unstable. But it says here there'll be no more sea. And as we shared in, or as I read in Revelation 22, there's also a new Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. I often think of the words of the Apostle Paul, that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what God has prepared for those that love him. God has created us to live with him forever in heaven. And I think of Ephesians 2. I don't know, I just think God will continually just amaze us at how great heaven will be. Ephesians 2:7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Another question I have How do I get there? I shared earlier that many people believe that all roads lead to heaven. But in Revelation 21, verse 7, it says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Who are the overcomers? First John 5, verse 4 and 5, it says, "Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in Jesus Christ. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Many people believe that every road that you're on will somehow take you to heaven. But that is a lie. I'm here to tell you the truth, that Jesus is the only way. Many people are deceived into thinking that just because you've done good things or whatever they may believe. But Jesus makes it so clear, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he says in John 14:6, I shared that earlier, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but through me." Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus is the only way. I want to answer one more question. Who is not going? You know that Jesus says that in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And Jesus says, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus says, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter into my kingdom. And in Revelation chapter 21, the chapter we were on in verse 8, it makes it clear that these, or this list here, will not be in the kingdom of heaven. 21 verse 8, Revelation 21, 8, it says, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." The fearful, those who lack faith in Christ. The unbelieving, those who reject Jesus Christ. The abominable, those who practice blasphemous and licentious practices associated with idolatry. Murderers, those who practice willful criminal homicide. Whoremongers, those who practice or promote sexual activity outside of marriage. Sorcerer, the Greek word is pharmakous, one who uses drugs to induce false fantasies and occult experiences. Idolaters, those who are devoted to any object, spirit, person, or practice which takes place of God in their lives. And liars, those who practice deception and false teaching. The Bible is clear that these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. As I close here this morning, I want to say to us that there are only two roads. There are only two roads. There's heaven and there's hell. There's not all roads lead to heaven. There are two roads. And Jesus makes that clear in John 3:36. He says, he that has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The wrath of God abides on him. And the good news is today, today is the day of salvation. Now, if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you can come to him today. Jesus says, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the way. If we confess our sins and forsake them and surrender your heart to Jesus, Jesus in no wise will cast out. Today is the day of salvation. And as I close here, I just ask each one of you, do you know what road you're on? Tomorrow may be too late. Let's bow our heads in closing prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that your mercies are new every day. And Father, we thank you for your great love, that you died for everyone. And that anyone who comes to you will have eternal life with you in heaven. Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that we would all know what road we're on. Lord, we know that we can have assurance. Those that have put their trust in you, your word teaches that we can have eternal life. Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you, Father, I pray that they wouldn't put it off any longer, that they would seek help, that they would make a decision for you. Father, we thank you for your mercy, your kindness. Lord, at this time, I want to pray for many that are suffering, going through difficult times. I think of John and Eunice Hine, Father. I pray for healing for both of them, Father. I pray that your will be done, Lord, and I just pray that you would strengthen their faith. Lord, I pray for George Buhler, Father. I just pray for him as well, that your healing hand be upon him. And as we shared earlier, I pray for wisdom for the doctors, Father, as they make decisions on what to do and as they perform surgeries and many other things. Father, may you guide their hand. Lord, I pray for Bishop Howard too. I just pray for healing for him, Lord. And I think of Carl and Ange too. I pray for healing, Father. I know it's difficult news to take, Father, but you have a purpose for everything, Lord, and you're not surprised by anything, and but through all this, Lord, that your name would be uplifted. And Father, I know there's many in our congregation that are sick, and Father, be with each one, Lord. I pray for healing and through all the trials, Father, that they would only strengthen our faith. And Father, if there's any other heavy heart here, Lord, you know every heart, and I just pray that you would do a work, Father, and that would result in you receiving glory and honor. And Father, I thank you for heaven, Lord, your promise that you have gone to prepare a place for us. And Father, what a day that will be, when we can ascend, that we can go to heaven, Lord, when you take us home. Father, we thank you for the promises that you give, that we don't need to doubt. Your word is truth. Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, whatever whatever else, Lord, those that have concerns or heartaches, Father, I pray that you would meet every need. And Lord, may your word have encouraged each one. We have so much to look forward to, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Enjoy your pain. Come quickly and abide, for life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
As I close here this morning, I just want to challenge you again and ask you, consider what road you're on. You know, you can fool people, but you can't fool God. I think of the so many verses that the Apostle Paul has left us with. One that I've already shared is, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, the things that God has in store for those that love Him. And another verse that, you know, when I think of all our earthly trials and struggles that come with getting older, the Apostle Paul, he also says that, I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory which awaits us. All our trials and our suffering, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory which awaits us. So I want to encourage you with those words. For the Christian, the best is yet to come. We have a lot to look forward to. May God's word have encouraged each one here this morning. I want to thank you all for coming. I thank you for your prayers. And I want to close with a benediction. And just think about what Paul is writing here. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Thank you for coming, and may God's peace and protection go with each one of you. You're dismissed.